Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Buffalo red zone. Terrell Bernard, a great linebacker, was coming free off the right.
Big time blitz. You mentioned Bernard. He led their team in tackles last year. Big time blitzer. He comes from the outside. Watch Williams just step up and up and just shovels it. He just shovels it to Swift in space, and then you see what Swift can do. Once he's open, he's like a jitterbug out there.
But how, like, courtesy of Fox, Rami Makhlouf with you on 670 The Score on a Sunday afternoon, and the man you heard there in that highlight, breaking it down, former NFL Bears QB, SiriusXM NFL radio host, and marquee sports analyst Jim Miller joins me now. Jim, how are you this afternoon, my man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I was pretty hyped up about what I saw from Caleb Williams yesterday. I played the Super Bowl shuffle to start the show and said fit him for the gold jacket. Am I getting carried away, Jim? Am I getting a little bit carried away with what I saw yesterday?
No, I think you should be, and I think all Bears fans should be. You know, this, you know, how they've gone about this to clear the deck with Justin Fields with the trade and kind of anoint Caleb Williams, and I think they've gone about it the right way. How they've gone about meeting him out at USC, the process that's led up to where they are right now, and I think Bears fans should be very excited about the young quarterback.
What was the most, I know it was two series, it was one quarter. What about what you saw yesterday impressed or stood out to you the most about Caleb Williams?
Well, I think everything. I think he looks the part. You know, his maturity, how he deals with his teammates, his command, how he executes, his flair, whether he puts his own flair on certain things, but he did everything well. You know, the curl route to DJ Moore, the blitz play that you saw or you heard there with DeAndre Swift, able to get that out. And I just think that he has a way about him that his teammates are gravitating to him, and I think the city will as well.
And he seemed to pick up the we saw the slip and slide on Hard Knocks earlier in the week. He seemed to take that lesson to heart. I thought the slide even looked good, Jim.
Well, it was two-man coverage, and that's actually the weakness of the defense. You got to be able, once two-man, it clears out. It basically opens up like the Red Sea. He noticed it. He took off. He ran. 13-yard scramble, nice slide. And, yes, I did see the slip and slide on a Hard Knock, so he's got that down too. And he makes it look easy, and that's hard for a rookie to do.
Talking with Jim Miller, former Bears QB, SiriusXM radio host, and Marquee sports analyst. You also hear him on the call on Fox for Bears preseason games. I was saying earlier in the show, Jim, that I was listening to Dave Wannstedt in an interview earlier this week right here on The Score, and he said that one of the things he'll be looking for from Caleb Williams in the preseason but throughout the season, that could make a huge difference for the Bears, but also show his sort of his development or just how good a prospect he is as a quarterback, and that's to make plays on third down, even if it's little things like seeing the cover two and knowing the weakness was down the middle and running for that first, but making the little plays on third downs that extend drives and eventually lead to points where otherwise there would not be points on the scoreboard. How big is that for a quarterback, and how hard is it for a quarterback to sort of, especially a rookie, settle in those moments where you know there's a lot on the line and you need to keep this drive going for your football team?
Yeah, it's all about preparation. You know, those are going to be your third down calls during the week, whether it's third and short, third and medium, third and long. You normally have about five plays in each one, and you as a quarterback, you say, hey, this is what I like first, this is what I like second, this is what I like third, and your offensive coordinator should really follow your lead. You know, that first third and 10 where he hit the curl route to DJ Moore, That was an excellent read. He was processing. He was going to go to the middle of the field and then read it out. Once the linebacker got in the way of the hookup player in the middle of the field, I forget who it was, then he read it out to DJ Moore, and he was able to complete the pass. And those are the things that he's going to have to prepare and do week in and week out, because every week it's different on third down, depending on who you're playing.
You know, and we're talking with Jim Miller here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Sunday afternoon. I saw the play action bootleg that ended up in the hands of Cole Kmet after a bullet out of the arm of Caleb Williams. I saw an on-the-field view of that from behind the defense, and when he makes that play action fake, I saw about five or six defenders go with the running back in the opposite direction, and that's something that when you talk about an Aaron Rodgers or any of the great a Patrick Mahomes, any of the great quarterbacks in this league, that play action fake, it seems like a little thing, but to get a defense going the wrong way, the way Caleb Williams did on that play, is huge to open things up. What, Jim, as somebody who played quarterback in the NFL, what makes a good play action fake? How do you deke the defense and make them really think that you handed the football off to that guy?
You have to sell it. You got to make it look exactly like the run play. You know, extend the ball, put it in the running back's belly, and then pull it out. You know, show it. Show the ball so the defense, because that's all they look at. What does Matt Eberflus say? Where's the ball? It's all about the ball. So show them the ball, seed it into the running back's belly, and then pull it out, and you'll get the reaction that you're looking for. But you have to sell it. It takes time. You have to have trust and conviction and, you know, and kind of a little bit of acting. You got to be a little bit of an actor out there so you can sell it.
Talking with Jim Miller of Fox Sports, hear him on the call for Bears preseason games, also on Marquee Sports as their football analyst. If there was one thing, Jim, and just to sort of balance things out, because I've gotten a little carried away with the Caleb Williams and Bears excitement here this afternoon, if there was one thing that you said was a concern or just the thing that Caleb Williams needs to work on as he gets his sea legs in the NFL, what would that one thing be?
Well, I think his one throw last night, there was an out route by the slot receiver who ran an out route. He was late on a slot route that almost got undercut and picked off. Ultimately, there was a penalty on the play, but he's got to be a little bit quicker on that decision. And you can't, much like being late over the middle, you can't be late to the flat. I mean, because it's just bad things are going to happen. It's going to take time. I think he's got the mental makeup where he's able to control the ups and downs of the emotional roller coaster of learning and what it takes to be a quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, so far, so good. You know, it's an interesting year, and I think the Bears are going to be an interesting team to follow all year long.
And, you know, he seems to have, and we've only known him for a few months now since the NFL draft, since he's been under a microscope for Bears fans. We were watching him at USC knowing, yeah, he might be the Bears quarterback. But we heard the rumors about the personality and maybe not being a great leader or rubbing teammates the wrong way. He, from a personality standpoint, and especially keeping his cool and calm under the pressure of the bright lights and expectations here in Chicago, and we saw him under pressure literally during that game yesterday when the blocking broke down, he seems to have his wits about him. He always seems to have a presence of mind and to kind of know the right thing to say or do off the field or on the field. Can you teach that in a quarterback?
No, I just think that's just him. That's just who he is. He's got an awareness about him. I mean, people forget, this guy's been living on his own since high school. Hmm. Okay, he's had NIL money. He's a mature. He knows about bank accounts and debits and credits, and that's prepared him as well because he's been at a big-time program out at USC, and things are just different now compared to when I went to college. So, yeah, I think he's up for it, and he looks the part. He handles everything in stride, and his teammates are gravitating to him.
Former NFL Bears QB, SiriusXM NFL radio host Fox, and marquee analyst Jim Miller, my guest, for a few more minutes here on 670 The Score. I've been asking everybody I've gotten on here to talk Bears here in the last few weeks this same question. Because the excitement, the hype, the expectations are big here in the city of Chicago right now, Jim. And sometimes I wonder if we're putting too much on him. What's a realistic expectation for a rookie quarterback and that offense that he's leading?
Yeah, I think Bears fans need to check themselves a little bit. You got to take a seat. You got to take a back seat. And you already talked the last two quarterbacks out of town. Don't be talking this quarterback out of town. So have some patience. Okay? There's going to be good and bad. And this guy's up for the challenge.
And, you know, I've said I expect this Bears team to win games this year. I've sort of set the bar at 9 games for a successful season. I don't think that's crazy, Jim, but I'm also not putting that all on Caleb Williams. I understand that there are going to be growing pains, that there are going to be rookie mistakes. I'm looking to Matt Eberflus to be a better coach. I'm looking to that defense to take another step, and I'm looking for the veterans on that roster when he does make a rookie mistake, and we do see those growing pains, to be the ones to kind of lift him up and still be able to pull out the W. Is that kind of how you're looking at this thing?
Ryan Poles has done a nice job of insulating a young quarterback with a lot of veterans around him, and they're very talented. Those are very talented players around Caleb Williams right now. The key point for the Bears is going to be the latter part of the year when they start their division games. How quickly can this offense get up and running with Caleb Williams? It's probably going to take about 7 weeks. And then, of course, you got to deal with injuries. So when they hit that stretch of their schedule, when they play their division games, hopefully everything will be up and running 100% on both sides of the ball without injury.
I've seen a lot of articles of ranking position player groups on the offensive side of the football. You don't have to give me an exact number, but with adding Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift, already having DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, and of course you go out and you draft Rome Odunze, is this a top 5 skill position group on the offensive side of the football, or would top 10? Where would you have that group?
Think about what you just said.
Yeah.
Blue chip players. Every team has to have minimum 5 blue chip players. Keenan Allen, blue chip player. DJ Moore, blue chip player. Darnell Wright, blue chip player. DeAndre Swift, blue chip player. Cole Kmet, blue chip player. That's just on offense. That's what's surrounding this young quarterback.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
That's so good to hear, Jim. That is so good to hear. The other part in this whole equation is Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator. How much did you know about him coming in, and what's your early impressions of him as being the Bears offensive coordinator and play caller?
What is this, amateur hour? Dude, he started out at Michigan State where I went. That tells you all you need to know. You'll be just fine.
Were you two teammates? I didn't put two and two together. I knew you were both Spartans.
It's a cradle of football. Chicago needs to know it. You're welcome again.
First they gave us Jim Miller, and now they gave us Shane Waldron. But seriously though, Jim, what? Okay,
he's cut his teeth. He's been in that Sean McVay offense. This offense is taking over the league. All right, it's likable. It's learnable. It's the Ram offense. It's Kyle Shanahan. This has been around forever. We could go back to John Elway and Mike Shanahan. Okay, with what they did, and that's all this has done. It seems to be the wave of how the teams and organizations are going, because Seattle's adopted it, Tampa's adopted it. Look at Carolina with Dave Canellis. He went from Seattle to Tampa, and now he's in Carolina as a head coach. This offense is likable, it's learnable, and that's why it's taken over the NFL.
Just a couple more for you. Jim Miller of SiriusXM, Marquee, and Fox Sports, former Bears quarterback, joining me here on 670 The Score on a Sunday afternoon. We saw a different defense in the second half of last year than we saw in the first half with the acquisition of Montez Sweat and just better health on that side of the football. And then we saw Matt Eberflus take over play calling after they dismissed their defensive coordinator. There were also some, for lack of a better term, patsies on the schedule in that second half, Jim. How much of what we saw there from that defense do you think was real and that they can build on here moving into the 2024 season?
Well, I think you saw it. It's factual. As soon as the Bears acquired Montez Sweat, they got 20 sacks. Mm-hmm. All right, their total was 30. They got 20 sacks after he arrived. They're 31st in the league in sacks with 30. All right, they basically doubled the output once he arrived. So it's going to be interesting to see how the whole season will unfold. And I still think the Bears, you know, whether it's Walker, whether it's Robinson, whether it's the other pass rushers, whether it's Austin Booker, who they just drafted, those guys have to really carve out a niche, because I do think that's going to be important. You got to get double digit sacks from each guy on each side. And then you're cooking with gas. So we'll see if they add another pass rusher or if these guys can live up to the billing, because I still think they're a little short in that area.
Yeah, I said earlier in the show that they might have found something in that Austin Booker. And I know first game he was going against, you know, third and fourth stringers in that Hall of Fame game. Yesterday he flashed against some guys that'll be playing snaps in the NFL.
Yeah, I thought he did well. He gave all out effort. He's who he is. I called him a poor man's Mad Max Crosby, and that's a pretty good evaluation, because you look at Mad Max, where he was drafted out of Eastern Michigan, and this kid's the same way. He just hasn't logged a lot of snaps. He's only got 500 snaps when he played at Kansas, and he's got to fill out. Again, you got to be patient with this young man. Let him grow out.
I'll take a poor man's Max Crosby. And the other thing I saw in that game yesterday, and when I saw that they were doing this in practice, Jim, I honestly thought like maybe a last-ditch effort to find a way for Velus Jones to fit into this offense and this roster, or maybe just another way to sort of display him for other teams that might be interested in trading for him when the final roster is made. After seeing the way it kind of worked, it was late in the game and it was against backups, but seeing the way it kind of worked with Velus Jones coming out of the backfield, I think there might be something to that. Maybe it's not just a last-ditch effort to see how they can fit him in.
I think they're trying to find a role for him, all right? They're trying to find creative ways to utilize his talents, and he hasn't really found a home. He hasn't found a home as a returner. He hasn't found a home as a receiver, and maybe this could be his home. But clock's ticking. Time's running out. The ball was on the ground again.
True.
Yesterday.
Yep.
So time's running out.
That's Jim Miller, of course, former Bears quarterback. Catch him on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Marquee Sports, and over there on Fox for the Bears preseason games. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Jim. And thank you for sort of validating these positive feelings I'm having about the Bears. You made me feel even better about things than I was before we brought you on here.
Well, Bears fans should be very excited. There's going to be a lot to talk about all year. They'll be relevant, and that's a good thing.
Appreciate you, Jim. Thanks. Let's do it again.
All right. Thank you.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. We'll get back into some Bears a little bit later. My takeaways from Hard Knocks coming up at about 1:40. But let's talk about these Cubs. Are they in it? Are they not? Tony Andracki of Marquee Sports. He'll join me coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now all of the fans are standing on both sides. Sellout crowd on the south side. And the strike two pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three, and the Cubs win the ball game. The Cubs sweep the two-game series. They make it four in a row. They stay red hot. That's 8 out of 10. And they finish a perfect 4-0 against the White Sox for the year.
That was fun. And that was heard right here on 670 The Score, where Cubs games are heard. You're home for Chicago Cubs baseball. My takeaways from the Bears debut on Hard Knocks coming up at 1:40, and Jeffrey Chedilla will join us to talk some Bears and NFL at 2 o'clock. But joining me now to talk about those Chicago Cubs from Marquee Sports, Tony Andracki is my guest. Tony, how are you this afternoon, my man?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was there last night, and I saw that win, and I see what's happening, Tony. I'm going to be real with you. With the Bears starting training camp and all the Caleb Williams excitement and the way that the Cubs had played to that point in the season, I was ready to turn my attention and sort of check out on the Cubs to a degree. But man, they've pulled me back in. Is this team back in your opinion?
I think they are. It's certainly still going to be a really, really tough road. I think it's like 8-9% playoff odds right now. Still, you know, even with winning 8 of 10, just like Pat Hughes was saying. Mm-hmm. So they've been a very good team the last 2 weeks. You know, they needed a run like this just to get back in the thick of things. And I think that they have to continue now. You know, I don't know exactly how many wins it'll take, you know, but it might take 87, 88 wins to get to that point. And that means, you know, 28, 29 wins that the Cubs still have to rattle off over the next like 6 or 7 weeks of play. So it's still going to be difficult. You know, they're still facing an uphill battle because there's a bunch of teams in front of them in the wild card standings. I think they're pretty much out of it, you know, maybe not necessarily out of it, but very difficult to come back in the division when you're as far back at the Brewers as they are. But only 3.5 back in the wild card race, I think they certainly would say that they're in it with 7 weeks to play.
I know there are a number of things that you can point to. A team doesn't have the turnaround, that the type of turnaround that the Cubs are having, without multiple factors. But if you were to pick one, what's been the biggest difference with this Cubs team since they started winning baseball games at a better rate?
That's a good question. I think for me, it's the offense, like the depth in the offense. And the bullpen has been very good. I think that's a big factor, but they've also been very good since the beginning of June. They're right up there in terms of in all of baseball. I think they actually lead baseball in bullpen ERA since June 1st, and they're up there in a bunch of other categories in the same two and a half month time span. So the bullpen's been really good for a while. The starting staff, I think, has been good all season. It's the offense, to me, that was always kind of the thing that was underperforming and underwhelming this year, and a lot of that was due to they just didn't have the depth that we felt like they had last year. I mean, last season they acquired Jamer Candelaria, one of the top bats available, but he hit seven for the team mostly, and Christopher Morel, he and Candelaria tied for the most starts in the seven spot last year because you just felt like there was a lot of depth. And this year, the catching spot, up until the last couple of weeks, hasn't produced offensively. And Dansby Swanson had struggled up until the last couple of weeks. And PCA, P. Crow Armstrong, had kind of, gone through some ups and downs, but it felt like there was kind of an extended period of down at the plate for him offensively. But he's turned things around the last few weeks as well. So I think when just the factor that the Cubs are getting production from 7, 8, 9, and they're able to turn the lineup over and, put together rallies, and you don't have a 30-year lineup that's, getting out like 75%+ of the time each guy. So I think that's a huge, huge factor here in why they've been able to be successful. Honestly, we saw it again last night. Amaya had the 2-run single that was the difference in the game, hitting out of the 9th spot.
Yep. Yeah. That was a big hit there. And Tony, I do think, when things are going bad, and we as fans, Tony Andracki of Marquee, my guest here for a few minutes on The Score, we want to blame somebody, you know what I mean? And we never want to hide or let the team hide behind injuries. But I think in hindsight, especially when you talk about that offense, we do have to admit that injuries were a pretty significant factor when you look at guys like Cody Bellinger missing significant time, and really every major piece of that lineup missed at least a few weeks throughout the first two-thirds of the season. That's going to affect almost any lineup and any offense over the course of a season.
Yeah, it will. And Bellinger being out two separate times and Seiya Suzuki being out earlier in the year, I do think that was a factor. Dansby Swanson was on the aisle with a knee injury in, was that April, May? I can't remember exactly now, but, he had a knee injury. He missed a couple of weeks as well. And it felt like it took it some time for Dansby to kind of get things going offensively. And we're seeing that now. And I think for the first 3+ months of the season, a guy like Dansby just wasn't able to put together those hot streaks that we typically have seen from him. But you're right. Yeah. The injuries and it's just led to like lineup inconsistency, and the depth hasn't quite been there. Like we're saying, the 7, 8, 9 spots in the order haven't produced much this season. It was, for a long time, it was only about half the production of what they had produced last year at the same time. So, but that's a factor when you have a bunch of guys that are out and you have to fill in. And, but that being said, like when PCA is coming around and Mike Talkman, has done well as a role player, and Patrick Wisdom and David Bodie have also found success in these spots. And, Miles Mastroboni as well, playing some great defense at third and coming up with some hits. So, it does feel like they kind of have the right group of position players now, but you're right. It was tough to kind of fill in the gaps when guys were hurt before, or when we saw inconsistency. I mean, Christopher Morel, when he was here, there's just a lot of ups and downs. There was, some times where he felt like he was one of the best hitters in the game, and other times where there was extended periods of slumps for multiple weeks in a row.
Yeah. You bring up Christopher Morel and his struggles and inconsistency at third base. I think really a major difference here, especially in the last week or so since he's gotten his sea legs, Isak Paredes is a different and I'm not saying he's Juan Soto or Shohei Ohtani or those guys that, Cubs fans wanted in the middle of the lineup when they were on the market this offseason, but having a guy with that kind of power in the middle of the lineup, again, not Soto power, not Shohei power, but also who doesn't strike out that much, I think has changed the way that pitchers are approaching or attacking this Cubs lineup.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're hoping for. It is just what you said, is that, you know, putting the ball in play more, not striking out as much, and not having those ups and downs that Morel was prone to, and we'd seen from him for 3 years now, and over the last three seasons in the big leagues. They just wanted more consistency, and they wanted it at every level of the game. So they wanted it defensively, which Paredes has made a couple of errors, but I think for the most part, you know, he's played really solid defense at third, and it had just gotten to the point where Morel was not playing defense as much at third, and he was DHing more often than he was playing third over the last, I don't know, month, few weeks or so that he was on the roster. That's why we saw guys like Miles Mastroboni playing third base, or David Bodie or Wisdom or whoever it was playing third base, because, you know, they just kind of, they didn't fully give up in the experiment with Morel at third, but it just became clear that they were choosing defense over getting his bat in the lineup and having a guy fill the DH spot. So he was serving as a DH, but that wouldn't have worked these last couple of weeks with Cody Bellinger coming off the IL, unable to play the field still with his finger injury. He's had to DH, so it would have been something where they would have had to play Morel at third base if he was still on the roster and they hadn't made that trade for Paredes. So I think just in general, like, having a guy like Paredes, like what you said, you know, the consistency at the plate, but I think defensively has been even more key because it opens up that DH spot right now for Bellinger, and in the future for, you know, maybe a guy like Talkman or a guy like Seiya Suzuki can get a day, you know, half day off his feet, or, you know, put Bellinger in right field and then you improve your defense all around. Whatever it is, I just feel like Paredes' addition makes the Cubs just a little bit better for this year.
Tony Andracki of Marquee Sports, my guest for a few more minutes here on 670 The Score. That bullpen is day and night from what we saw earlier in the season, and a couple of guys have really steadied it. Well, first of all, Hector Neris, a little bit more consistent in the ninth inning and in that closer role, but also Pearson and Hodge coming up and really being really solid guys for them out of that bullpen. Is this, in your opinion, Tony, sustainable, not just for the rest of this season, but something that they can carry into next season as those guys show what they can do coming out for relief for the Cubs?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of positivity, a lot of optimism about building this bullpen for the future. You know, a young guy like Porter Hodge, and Luke Little's hurt and going to miss the rest of the season, but I think he kind of showed them something, you know, as, from the left side, as a guy who throws really hard, has good stuff, but he was starting to hone it in and have, you know, just a bit more consistency in throwing strikes and living in the strike zone. So I think, you know, that helps. And just the way that they've been able to produce arms, and Porter Hodge was a guy that they liked, but, you know, added a 40 man this past winter, but they weren't necessarily expecting him to be up in the big leagues at all this year, or like early in the season when he came up in May, but then also to like play such a key role. And then he's in the eighth inning or seventh inning, you know, in pitching in high leverage situations like he was last night. So I think that's really encouraging, but I think they do have to fill in and add stuff. You know, when Edward Alzolay is going to miss all of next year probably, and Mark Leiter Jr. is gone, Julian Merriweather is still working his way back from missing, you know, 3+ months to injury. Hector Neris could be around for next year, most likely probably will be. But Drew Smyly is not under contract, and he's been a huge piece of the bullpen as a left-handed option. And, you know, just some of these other guys, like, there is volatility in bullpens and relievers for sure, from year to year. But a guy like Nate Pearson, you know, they're hoping can be a factor as well. That's part of why they traded for him at the deadline. So I think they have a lot of optimism in the future, but certainly right now with all those guys I just mentioned, you know, and Jorge Lopez as well, I mean, they've put together a really nice group, and Craig Council's kind of earned that title once again as like this bullpen whisperer, because he's done it again here with the Cubs.
Yeah, I had one question in between that last one and the Craig Council one, but you set me up perfectly for it. I've spent most of my career in Milwaukee before coming here to Chicago. I was there for pretty much the entirety of Craig Council's tenure as the Brewers manager, and I was always really impressed with the guy, especially as you just said, his way of managing a bullpen, or as you put it, being a bullpen whisperer. A lot of Cubs fans were pointing at Craig Council when things weren't going so great. I think he's really showing you, and look, man, he's getting paid what he's getting paid to win a lot more games than what he has so far. But I think he's showing you the value that he has as a manager, and knowing the right strings to pull and the right buttons to push, especially when it comes to a bullpen.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. And I think, you know, he along with the rest of the coaching staff, have really helped solidify this group. But I do think that it's just like these guys are performing super well too. I mean, Council himself even said, going back to Porter Hodge, when Hodge came up, Council was even saying this feels a little bit early for him. And Council has admitted that, you know, there's an element of surprise that Porter Hodge has really succeeded and developed so quickly at the big league level in a year that they kind of weren't counting on him, certainly weren't counting on him to expecting him to kind of fill that eighth inning role or seventh inning role for the team. So, you know, that's been good, and the players deserve a ton of credit. And then nice moves. I mean, to have Drew Smyly, you know, still around is helpful. Neris obviously was a pretty good signing. I know things are kind of a roller coaster with him in the ninth inning at times, but he's really helped stabilize things. And then Tyson Miller is one of the most underrated bullpen moves, I think, in all of baseball all year. You know, the Cubs got him in May, kind of claiming him off the scrap heap when he was DFA'd by the Mariners just because of a 40-man roster crunch. You know, he had pitched well in Seattle. Then he's come here and pitched really, really well as well. And Council and the coaching staff have found the right pockets for these guys to succeed in. And they're going out and they're, to quote Council, getting their outs in their pockets.
Man, their patience in PCA really seems to be paying off right now. And I'll admit, I had my doubts. Like, why are we doing this here and not in the minor leagues? I was believed in the kid and wanted to see him come up and contribute, but watching him struggle at the major league level for a team I wanted to see win, I was like, what are we doing here? But it's paying off here so far, especially recently and with the bat.
Yeah, it's paying off for sure. And he can help the team win in so many different ways. Like, the fact that, I mean, I think he still hasn't been caught stealing, so that's a big factor. But, you know, we've seen him lay down some good bunts as sacrifices, as, you know, reaching on base hits, hitting the ball on the ground and reaching on infield singles. But he's just been hitting the ball harder, more consistently, up the middle, you know, kind of using the big part of the field. I've seen him, like, turn on some nice pitches as well, hit for extra base hits over the last couple of weeks. I think, you know, they've made some swing changes. They made some adjustments with him. Dustin Kelly and the coaching staff helped with that to kind of keep his weight back and get through the ball with a little bit more power. But I think the big thing is he's just swinging at the right pitches and he's not chasing a ton. I saw for that period of time, you know, 5-6 weeks, whatever it was, that he was struggling. It felt like he was swinging at that low and away breaking ball, like slider or curveball, a lot. And he just isn't doing that as much now. And he's laying off those pitches and he's understanding what kind of pitches he can do damage with. And that's the maturity of big league hitters, especially in today's game where it's so hard to hit. And the fact that the guy's only 22 and he missed, you know, the COVID year when he was drafted because there's no minor leagues. And then in 2021, he only played 6 games because of a shoulder injury. So he basically missed like 2 years, you know, at age 18 and 19 when he could have been playing in pro ball and he wasn't able to. So I think this development, like you said, we're seeing it at the big league level. And I think just because of the defense, the base running, all the ways that he can help the team win, it has been good patience from them. And now it's starting to pay off offensively, too.
Man, if that guy can get on base consistently, he is going to wreak havoc on pitching staffs around this league, just the way that he can get around and make things happen. That's Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter for Marquee. You can follow him on Twitter at TonyAndracki23. And my guest for the last few minutes here on 670 The Score. Tony, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, man.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And Cubs coverage here on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll hit a quick break right after this. Back to some Bears talk. And something that I fear might be a problem when it comes to this Bears team, for all the hype and excitement that I had earlier, the one thing that really, really scares me, and I think could get in the way of this thing going right for the Bears, kind of validated for me watching Hard Knocks. I know it's just a TV show, and what are you talking about? There's something that just... It's just not there with this team and with a particular guy, and I'll explain just what that is right after this, right here on 670 The Score.
Anybody in Chicago can take the L, but what they really want are W's.
We're back, live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I didn't like that line. I'm just going to be real. I did not like that line. Very true. Very corny. Very, very cheesy. Everyone in Chicago can take the L. Come on, man. Put a little more effort into it. Robbie Backloff with you here on 670 The Score on a Sunday afternoon. But I did enjoy Hard Knocks. Now, again, I'm just starved for, like, good Bears stuff. You know, that's just, I think we're all there. And I said with Tony Andracki, our guest from Marquee Sports, who was just on, like, I'd kind of moved on from the, like, I'll always watch Cubs games just because what else am I doing? You know, I love baseball and it's on TV, but as far as, or I'll listen to it on The Score, obviously, but as far as like my playoff hopes, I was more like, oh, what can PCA show us for the future and things like that. So I had like fully turned all my excitement and optimism to the Chicago Bears and kind of moved on from the Cubs in that sense. They're kind of bringing me back in, but I need Bears content and I need good, positive Bears content. And I think Hard Knocks was that. Hard Knocks was very much that. First of all, Caleb Williams, very likable, terrible singer, but very likable. The Bulls intro for Caleb Williams. Oh my God. I got chills. I had hairs standing up on my arm. I turned on, I'm not allowed to turn on the sound bar in my house when my girlfriend is home. She doesn't like loud noises. So she was in the kitchen doing dishes, and there is not like a misogynistic thing going on here. All right. One of us cooks, the other one does dishes. I happened to cook that night. So she was in the kitchen doing dishes and she had headphones in. But when they, do you have the Michael Jordan and or the Bulls? I know I didn't ask you for it. Oh my God. When this happened, I turned the TV. I turned on the sound bar. I turned the TV way up. My girlfriend walked into the living room with, like, you know, water dripping off the gloves, and she was like, "What are you doing? Like, why?"
The whole house is shaking.
Why is it so loud in here? And I was like, "Oh, my bad, my bad. I got a little carried away." So that was good. All of the Caleb Williams stuff was very, except for the singing. And by the way, she walked in after she was done doing dishes, and they were actually playing the John Legend song that he attempted to sing in the rookie karaoke. And she was like, "This song does not fit this show." And I was like, "You got, there's like backstory. There's like an inside joke here that you're missing." But it was very good. I know way too much of Theo Benedet. I don't know if, am I getting his name? I know way too much.
Yeah, a little too much
of that guy. And I was
way,
I was
too much.
Sorry to see him go down with the injury. But there was one thing. It was all very, it got me very excited. It was all very good, very positive. There was one thing about Hard Knocks that dampened the fire just a little bit. If you've heard me before here on The Score, I haven't. Now, I have nothing against the guy personally. And I'm willing to admit I could be very wrong about what kind of NFL head coach he can be, but I've not been impressed with Matt Eberflus. I've just not been impressed with Matt Eberflus in really any sort of way. And I know he was put behind the eight ball with the roster that they gave him the first. I understand all of that, but there's just not been a lot there that wows me, that impresses me. And I know, like, the haircut and the beard, and he's got the riz, you know, after his wife gave him a makeover. And that's got a lot of people excited. And it's cool that he hosts all his coaches at his estate. That's cool. And he seems like a really nice, good dude. I got nothing against Matt Eberflus, and I hope he's a great coach. But I don't see it there. And when I saw this, I was like, man, because I was watching and going, maybe the behind the scenes, maybe this type of insight and behind the scenes will show me something from Matt Eberflus that I don't know. Maybe he'll wow me. Maybe he'll do something that excites me. And this was his opening address to the football team as they opened training camp.
Winning doesn't make you a winner. Losing doesn't make you a loser. Winning habits makes you a winner. Losing habits makes you a loser. Set a goal to be 1 of 32. the best. It's your position. The best. Right? If it's long snapper,
we can,
kicker,
we can kill it.
Center,
bored.
Nickel,
are you sure?
Corner,
yeah, I'm serious.
Linebacker,
I'm,
whatever it okay. is.
That and that was exactly how I felt when I was watching him give that speech. And again, he might be a very good head coach. He hasn't had a chance to show it in the time that he's had here so far. But just observing a coach, just observing an NFL head coach. I'm 44 years old. I've been watching football with an eye at NFL head coaches for, I don't know, a solid 30 years of, like, you know, a somewhat functioning brain that can process and analyze information. You know what I mean? Let's say 30 years. When I see a Sean McVay, when I see even a Dan Campbell, they wow me in different ways. You know what I mean? Like Sean McVay with his brains and that photographic memory where you can name, you could be like 3rd and 10 in 2013 when you were the offensive coordinator of the Redskins week 16 against whatever, the Bills. You know what I mean? And he'll tell you exactly what play he called and the result. Or Dan Campbell goes up to a podium and speaks about his football team, and I want to run through a damn wall for that guy. There's something, and it can be a number of different things: your brains, your motivational abilities, your charisma, your riz, if you will. There, it can be a number of things. Not every coach has to be an offensive genius. I'm not asking everybody to be Sean McVay. But give me something. Be a Dan Campbell, who's like this great motivator, this great leader who makes you want to run through a wall. What does Matt Eberflus do? And I was hoping I saw it with this behind the scenes inside sort of view from the Chicago Bears. Does Matt Eberflus do anything that makes you go, wow? Wow. How does that guy do that? I'm so glad he's our head coach. I don't see it, man. And I know the defense had that second half turnaround last year when he started calling plays. But they also added Montez Sweat. They also got a lot healthier. I don't know how much of the improvement, and great, good coaches need good players to do good things. Nobody's going to be a good coach with bad players. That just doesn't happen. But I need a coach to get a little bit more out of a guy than another coach might get, whether it's through motivating them or whether it's through scheming up and putting them in a good position to succeed. I don't know if he got more out of that defense than another coach could have. I don't know that. I'm not saying I don't think he did. I'm saying I don't know that he did. We saw an influx of talent from the Montez Sweat trade and guys coming back from injuries, and they got better. How much of that was Matt Eberflus and how much of that was just better players on that side of the ball? Could have been him. A lot of that could have been him, but I don't know. And even if it is him, even if he's this defensive genius, there aren't other defensive geniuses out there who could either be your defensive coordinator or who could be your head coach and bring something to the table like a Dan Campbell does, who inspires guys, who motivates guys, who makes them want to run through a wall.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Yeah, exactly. I hear Dan Campbell and I'm like, yeah, kneecap sounds tasty right now. You know what I mean? Matt Eberflus doesn't do that for me. If somebody can tell me, and I'm serious. We got a guest next segment, but I'll open up the phone lines, or maybe I can squeeze you in here in this segment. I'm looking out at the great city of Chicago right now from the palatial Hyundai Studios that we broadcast here. Is anybody out there wowed or impressed by something that Matt Eberflus does other than have a nice haircut and a beard that his wife picked out for him? Does he do anything for any? I'm serious, man, and I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not saying this. I started the show playing the Super Bowl shuffle and saying, you know, fit Caleb Williams for the gold jacket, and let's start etching 2024 Bears into the Lombardi Trophy. I want to get excited about this team. The one thing that really kind of holds me back is that guy is the head coach, man. He just doesn't wow me. He doesn't impress me. And it goes further than just this season. Because if it doesn't work with Matt Eberflus this season, we're probably looking at a new head coach. And that guy's probably going to bring his own offensive coordinator with him, or he will be the offensive coordinator. And now we got a rookie quarterback going into his second year with the coach who didn't pick him. And this type of revolving door in terms of the GM, coach, and quarterback never really being on the same page, never being the guy who drafted them or the guy who they drafted or the guy that they coached, the guy that they picked, whatever it might be, this starting the cycle of this revolving door again, if this doesn't work with Matt Eberflus this year, terrifies me in terms of what that could mean for Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears organizationally. I hope I'm wrong, man. I really do. I really hope that this is something that I'm wrong about. But not once have I been wowed or impressed by just about anything about Matt Eberflus. Super nice guy. I'm sure he knows the sport, especially the defensive side of the ball, inside and out. But as far as a head coach goes, he has not done anything that wows me or impresses me. Does he do that for you out there? 312-644-6767. Please. If you see it, maybe you can point it out to me. Maybe you can help me see it because I want to believe. I want this thing to work. 312-644-6767. If you can hit me up on a text, give me a call. I'll squeeze you in. But first, we're going to talk with Jeffrey Chedia, senior NFL columnist for NFL.com and on-air talent over at NFL Network. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I don't know. What's up yours?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Anybody in Chicago can take the L, but what they really want are W's.
We're back live with more Rami Mekloff on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I didn't like that line. I'm just going to be real. I did not like that line. Very true. Very corny. Very, very cheesy.
Everyone in Chicago can take the L.
Come on, man. Put a little more effort into it. Rami Mekloff with you here on 670 The Score on a Sunday afternoon. But I did enjoy Hard Knocks. Now, again, I'm just starved for, like, good Bears stuff. You know, that's just, I think we're all there. And I said with Tony Andracki, our guest from Marquee Sports, who was just on, like, I'd kind of moved on from the, like, I'll always watch Cubs games just because what else am I doing? You know, like, I love baseball and it's on TV, but as far as, or I'll listen to it on The Score, obviously, but as far as, like, my playoff hopes, I was more like, oh, what can PCA show us for the future and things like that. So I had, like, fully turned all my excitement and optimism to the Chicago Bears and kind of moved on from the Cubs in that sense. They're kind of bringing me back in, but I need Bears content and I need good, positive Bears content. And I think Hard Knocks was that. Hard Knocks was very much that. First of all, Caleb Williams, very likable, terrible singer, but very likable. The Bulls intro for Caleb Williams. Oh my God. That, oh my, I got chills. I had hairs standing up on my arm. I turned on, I'm not allowed to turn on the sound bar in my house when my girlfriend is home. She doesn't like loud noises. So she was in the kitchen doing dishes, and there's not like a misogynistic thing going on here. All right. One of us cooks, the other one does dishes. I happened to cook that night. So she was in the kitchen doing dishes and she had headphones in. But when they, do you have the Michael Jordan and or the Bulls? I know I didn't ask you for it. Oh my God. When this happened, I turned the TV. I turned on the sound bar. I turned the TV way up. My girlfriend walked into the living room with, like, you know, water dripping off the gloves, and she was like, "What are you doing? Like, why?"
The whole house is shaking.
Why is it so loud in here? And I was like, oh, "My bad, my bad. I got a little carried away." So that was good. All of the Caleb Williams stuff was very, except for the singing. And by the way, she walked in after she was done doing dishes, and they were actually playing the John Legend song that he attempted to sing in the rookie karaoke. And she was like, "This song does not fit this show." And I was like, "You got, there's like backstory. There's like an inside joke here that you're missing." But it was very good. I know way too much of Theo Benedet. I don't know if, am I getting his name? I know way too much.
Yeah, a little too much
of that guy. And I was
way,
I was
too much.
Sorry to see him go down with the injury. But there was one thing. It was all very, it got me very excited. It was all very good, very positive. There was one thing about Hard Knocks that dampened the fire just a little bit. If you've heard me before here on The Score, I haven't. Now, I have nothing against a guy personally. And I'm willing to admit I could be very wrong about what kind of NFL head coach he can be, but I've not been impressed with Matt Eberflus. I've just not been impressed with Matt Eberflus in really any sort of way. And I know he was put behind the eight ball with the roster that they gave him the first two. I understand all of that, but there's just not been a lot there that wows me, that impresses me. And I know, like, the haircut and the beard, and he's got the riz, you know, after his wife gave him a makeover. And that's got a lot of people excited. And it's cool that he hosts all his coaches at his estate. That's cool. And he seems like a really nice, good dude. I got nothing against Matt Eberflus, and I hope he's a great coach. But I don't see it there. And when I saw this, I was like, man, because I was watching and going, maybe the behind the scenes, maybe this type of insight and behind the scenes will show me something from Matt Eberflus that I don't know. Maybe he'll wow me. Maybe he'll do something that excites me. And this was his opening address to the football team as they opened training camp.
Winning doesn't make you a winner. Losing doesn't make you a loser. Winning habits makes you a winner. Losing habits makes you a loser. Set a goal to be 1 of 32. The best. It's your position. The best. Right? If it's long snapper, kicker,
kill it.
Center,
I'm bored.
Nickel.
You sure?
Corner,
yeah, I'm serious.
Linebacker,
I'm,
whatever it is. Okay.
That was exactly how I felt when I was watching him give that speech. And again, he might be a very good head coach. He hasn't had a chance to show it in the time that he's had here so far. But just observing a coach, just observing an NFL head coach. I'm 44 years old. I've been watching football with an eye at NFL head coaches for, I don't know, a solid 30 years of, like, you know, a somewhat functioning brain that can process and analyze information. You know what I mean? Let's say 30 years. When I see a Sean McVay, when I see even a Dan Campbell, they wow me in different ways. You know what I mean? Like Sean McVay with his brains and that photographic memory where you can name, you could be like 3rd and 10 in 2013 when you were the offensive coordinator of the Redskins week 16 against whatever, the Bills. You know what I mean? And he'll tell you exactly what play he called and the result. Or Dan Campbell goes up to a podium and speaks about his football team, and I want to run through a damn wall for that guy. There's something, and it can be a number of different things. Your brains, your motivational abilities, your charisma, your riz, if you will. It can be a number of things. Not every coach has to be an offensive genius. I'm not asking everybody to be Sean McVay. But give me something. Be a Dan Campbell, who's like this great motivator, this great leader who makes you want to run through a wall. What does Matt Eberflus do? And I was hoping I saw it with this behind the scenes inside sort of view from the Chicago Bears. Does Matt Eberflus do anything that makes you go, wow? Wow. How does that guy do that? I'm so glad he's our head coach. I don't see it, man. And I know the defense had that second half turnaround last year when he started calling plays. But they also added Montez Sweat. They also got a lot healthier. I don't know how much of the improvement, and great, good coaches need good players to do good things. Nobody's going to be a good coach with bad players. That just doesn't happen. But I need a coach to get a little bit more out of a guy than another coach might get, whether it's through motivating them or whether it's through scheming up and putting them in a good position to succeed. I don't know if he got more out of that defense than another coach could have. I don't know that. I'm not saying I don't think he did. I'm saying I don't know that he did. We saw an influx of talent from the Montez Sweat trade and guys coming back from injuries, and they got better. How much of that was Matt Eberflus and how much of that was just better players on that side of the ball? Could have been him. A lot of that could have been him, but I don't know. And even if it is him, even if he's this defensive genius, there aren't other defensive geniuses out there who could either be your defensive coordinator or who could be your head coach and bring something to the table like a Dan Campbell does, who inspires guys, who motivates guys, who makes them want to run through a wall.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Yeah, exactly. I hear Dan Campbell and I'm like, yeah, kneecap sounds tasty right now. You know what I mean? Matt Eberflus doesn't do that for me. If somebody can tell me, and I'm serious. We got a guest next segment, but I'll open up the phone lines, or maybe I can squeeze you in here in this segment. I'm looking out at the great city of Chicago right now from the Palatial Hyundai Studios that we broadcast here. Is anybody out there wowed or impressed by something that Matt Eberflus does other than have a nice haircut and a beard that his wife picked out for him? I'm serious, man, and I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not saying this. I started the show playing the Super Bowl shuffle and saying, you know, fit
fit Caleb Williams for the gold jacket. And let's start etching 2024 Bears into the Lombardi Trophy. I want to get excited about this team. The one thing that really kind of holds me back is that guy is the head coach, man. He just doesn't wow me. He doesn't impress me. And it goes further than just this season. Because if it doesn't work with Matt Eberflus this season, we're probably looking at a new head coach. And that guy's probably going to bring his own offensive coordinator with him, or he will be the offensive coordinator. And now we got a rookie quarterback going into his second year with the coach who didn't pick him. And this type of revolving door in terms of the GM, coach, and quarterback never really being on the same page, never being the guy who drafted them or the guy who they drafted or the guy that they coached, the guy that they picked, whatever it might be, this starting the cycle of this revolving door again, if this doesn't work with Matt Eberflus this year, terrifies me in terms of what that could mean for Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears organizationally. I hope I'm wrong, man. I really do. I really, really, really hope that this is something that I'm wrong about. But not once have I been wowed or impressed by just about anything about Matt Eberflus. Super nice guy. I'm sure he knows the sport, especially the defensive side of the ball, inside and out. But as far as a head coach goes, he has not done anything that wows me or impresses me. Does he do that for you out there? 312-644-6767. Please. If you see it, maybe you can point it out to me. Maybe you can help me see it because I want to believe. I want this thing to work. 312-644-6767. If you can hit me up on a text, give me a call. I'll squeeze you in. But first, we're going to talk with Jeffrey Chedia, senior NFL columnist for NFL.com and on-air talent over at NFL Network. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I don't know. What's up yours?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.